You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi, everyone, and you're welcome back to Series 3 of Episode 15 of Cawley's Call. It's all unfamiliar to me at the moment, and I'm probably sounding a bit rusty because, yes, we did take a little bit of a break. The guts of 3 weeks. I suppose the league had a break, so we decided we will have a break. But it wasn't all for break reasons and holiday reasons. We were working as well and we were busy, and there was a couple of bits clashing with the podcast, notably the Ireland game over in Poland, which I was overworking at and really enjoyed. So that was another reason. Things were just clashing and we just decided to take a couple of weeks break ourselves. But we're delighted to be back. The league is obviously back up and running the last couple of weeks. Myself and Stewie have been out at matches, catching up. I'm not a big fan of the break anyway, I have to say, and I've been quite critical of it in the past, so people say I'm a hypocrite because I'm after taking a 2 week break around the same time. But Stewie, it's good to see you.
Good, Alan, is it?
It's Alan, yeah.
By the way, after that
I
intro,
have missed you.
After that intro, you still got it. You still got it, man. You know what I'm not, you know, you
I know,
you know what I'm alluding to.
It's an in-house joke. I still have it, man.
You still got the stuff.
Yes, Stu, how are you?
I'm good, yeah, I'm good.
Little bit of a break.
My mic sounds a bit weird, but anyway. Do you know what? I can't remember 2 days ago, let alone last week. What have I been doing? Working away.
Tell me, talk to me. You've been working away, flat out, busy job.
Busy job, yeah.
Yeah, that you're doing? Always telling us about. Very busy job.
I'm trying to get a few days. Actually, I'm trying to organise getting away for a week in first week in August.
Lovely.
How'd it go in Poland?
So yeah, I was in Poland.
No, how'd it go in Poland? I mean, you flew to effectively one country away from a war.
Yeah, there you go. Like? Yeah. So interestingly enough, obviously we all know what's going on over there at the moment. So I think that added to I suppose the interest absolutely from this side in terms of the game itself, let alone the fact that obviously Stephen Kenny was coming off the back of a great result against Scotland, because the first two games were pretty abject, and then we had the good result against Scotland, which gave everybody a lift again, played really well, scored the goal. So that game, yeah, there was huge interest in it, and notably for, as you say, the off the field reasons as well. So I was interested to see exactly, Stu. We got picked up, we flew into Warsaw, taxi man picked us up, so a lovely man brought us down to a place called Vuj, I think Lodz, but it's pronounced Vuj or Vuj, which was a 2 hour drive. So we had a great chat with the taxi
from
man.
The airport.
Yeah.
We
flew into Warsaw.
You drove, you went in a 2 hour taxi.
Well, a car picked us up, yeah.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. So this lovely man, anyway, so traveling down, and of course, that was one of the questions that was asked, just in terms of how's everything being so close. And they were of the view like that. Obviously, it's totally wrong and they're dead against it, those the Polish people. But just in terms of the fact that they're just getting on with their normal life. Now, there has been a huge influx of Ukrainians into the country as well, which they're totally accepting of, more so than anyone because it's on the border. But he just was trying to make the point that everybody is just getting on with their normal life. And that's exactly what it seemed around the city for the next couple of days, too. Everybody was just carrying on as normal. It was a small little city, lovely little place, because we were told prior to with that it might have been a bit run down compared to some of the other cities over in Poland, but it was anything but. It was a lovely, lovely little place. Plenty of Irish fans knocking around. So it was my first trip working on one of the senior matches away from home. I've obviously done a few here, but away from home. So I was just interested to see what goes on, and we went to the press conference the night before.
We allowed to go to the training now.
So we were down at the press
allowed to the
down at the press conference the night before. The press were all there, all the lads, all the League of Ireland lads that we'd all know that cover the games. So plenty of familiar faces. And Stephen came in, did the press conference, which was interesting enough watching that. And then I went out to watch them train. and there was a good buzz around the place. Lovely ground, by the way. Absolutely beautiful stadium. And again, makes us so envious of when you see a small little place like that, yet they've a lovely 18,000-seater stadium. But I did bump into Enda Stevens. Yeah. So Enda was knocking around in typical Enda fashion, cruising around, just drooping into the ground, spots me. So I went over, big high five with Enda, big chat. So interestingly enough, though, because it was the first time I'd spoken to Enda now in a few months, and Enda's a great lad, as you well know, having played with him. But he did tell me something, because obviously everybody focuses, and the more than the job we do, Stu, and everybody has an opinion on things, but the job we do, and you're nearly making assumptions on people's form and people's kind of whether they're in form, out of form, whatever the case may be. And Enda, on the first two games, I felt he was struggling. And obviously he had missed a lot of football with Sheffield United and all, and he was struggling with injury. So I asked him, I says, how's the injury? Like, you seem to be really struggling with it. And he says, I just can't get back from the injury. And he went right back to pre-season. And he said, since pre-season, he said, it's the first pre-season I've missed since he started playing going over to England. And he said, I'm literally playing catch-up all year.
Yeah.
And and I've often, you've made the point many times about pre-season, how important it is.
Yeah.
And it just told me everything that you need to know in terms of, if you miss that first 6 weeks, you're literally playing catch-up all year. And that's what he said. He says, every little knock I get, and obviously he had the bigger injury, but it's just setback after setback, and I'm just finding it so hard to get up to speed.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of an interesting angle, because myself included, I was watching the game against Ukraine at home and he was struggling, you know. So hopefully he gets back up to full fitness. That was on the Tuesday evening. He was going to get married on the Friday.
No way.
Yeah, he was going to get married in Powers Court on the Friday. So hopefully all went well. There was a
few. Powers Court. Jesus Christ. Couldn't have picked anywhere nicer than that.
Doing well for himself, young Enda.
No recession there.
Doing well for himself. But no, hopefully all went well with the wedding. I'm sure it did. A couple of the League of Ireland's friends, his good mates with Wardy and that, they were all heading along. So
Wardy seems to be good mates with everybody.
Well, Wardy's a great lad. Wardy is a great lad. Wardy's how could I? Wardy's that fun loving guy that everybody should have in their life. You know, one of them fellas. Bit like with the way I was when I was playing, you know, one of them fellas.
Yeah, but you used to go home and start crying into your pillow every night.
But yeah, Wardy is a great lad. So so yeah, that was Enda, and then obviously the game. So unbelievable atmosphere. There was only 10,000 people when the Ukrainians came out. So emotional. Obviously they were all draped in the national flag and all that kind of crack.
Yeah.
So it was very emotional, because that was only the second time they had played at home in front of their own fans, obviously, since all this stuff has happened. And just going about, like, I'm sure you've done it yourself, just in thinking, how can you put yourself in their shoes and go out and play football with what's going on?
I don't know. I can't. Like, it's very hard to even compare it to anything at all. This is the biggest war we've had in Europe since World War II.
Mm.
You know, it's the so it's crazy. It's and I'm sure they can't even comprehend it. I mean, even I kind of touch in every now and on the Dynamo Kiev stuff, and they're in pre-season at the moment, like, you know. But I don't, it's just you have to get on with it, isn't it?
A lot of the cities are doing that. But then you look at that attack yesterday the supermarket.
But that the missile attack yesterday kind of reiterates that they are getting on them, because a shopping centre was full of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Because they have to keep moving forward.
Mm.
You know, they have to, I suppose they do. And
I think that's the thing with the football team, to be fair to them, Stu. They've come out of this as, because I've had this conversation with a few people, even when we were over there, and just asking the same question as I asked you. But they've conducted themselves in such a way as unbelievable ambassadors, but it's almost they're kind of the ones that's raising the awareness, because while they're out playing football on a European level or national level.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, I mean, they're very privileged to be in the position they're in, and that's how I feel about the players when you look at them. They you know, they're very modest about it, but they feel like they're in a very privileged position. They're not based in Ukraine. Well, some of them probably are, actually, but most of them are based outside of Ukraine. So therefore,
Well, there's a good few leading, playing in yeah, Dynamo Kiev.
There is true. Yeah, that's true. There is. And I think in the second game, and the game against Ireland, a few of them did actually play because I think they were the main team played against Wales, didn't they, in the World Cup qualifier. However, the point I was trying to get to is that obviously the players are taking it on board that we have to be some sort of a, you know, inspiration to the people. And if the people see the football team, you know, getting on with it and being strong and so on and so forth, it does act as a
one thing that struck me because with the game as well. Now, the game was brilliant. I'll get to the game, but the game was absolutely brilliant. And the atmosphere was electric. And even though there was only 10,000, it felt like 50,000. It was brilliant atmosphere. But what I felt as well, because the atmosphere was so good, and the game was so good as well, but it was almost, which sounds a bizarre thing to say, but this was the impression I got. It was almost like it was just a release for 90 minutes from them. A distraction away from like the stuff that they're having to deal with every day of the week, that for this 90 minutes they were just in a football stadium watching a football match and being able to roar and cheer and doing something normal that we take for granted or whatever. Whereas I don't know when that match was over what exactly life they were going back into or where they were living or whatever kind of...
And not to answer for them, but they don't know what they're going back to. Mm. You know, it's literally... Like, I mean, if you know, the reality is that... You talked about the missile attack yesterday. These things are just dropping out of the sky. Mm. You know, Kiev goes weeks without a missile attack, and then all of a sudden there's two attacks, and then it's same yesterday. I don't know the name of the city where it happened yesterday, but you know, it was believed to be completely benign to anything. It's total. It's in the middle of the country. There's no military target there yet. You know, a missile just drops out of the sky. I mean, of course, this has been an issue around the world, and look, maybe shame on us for not, being a little bit more aware of other conflicts that have happened in the world. But sure, look, we're all humans as well, and sometimes I suppose as people, we're dealing with the Ukrainian crisis in the best way we know how to. Because if we were to throw ourselves into it, we'd be useless to ourselves and to our families. Like, and we have to detach as well. Like, it's off as much as you want to be able to do as much as you can for it. I don't know. Sometimes sometimes you feel like the world is so connected with all the technologies there is out there. Yet at the same time, you feel like you're more disconnected. Than, you feel like you're a million miles away, and it's bizarre. It's very probably more frustrating that you can't do anything about it, like, you know. But I'm sure, to give people their credit, people are doing wonderful things in their own different way and trying to help out. But it's very worrying. I'd be a bit of a World War II buff now, like, and I would watch World War II documentaries with obsession now. I could literally, you know, the way you're when you're at home and you're doing something and you always like to put something on TV that relaxes you. You know, you're not necessarily, you're kind of passively watching. Do you know what I mean? You might be cooking or whatever. Do you do that?
Know what relaxes me?
You might put music on.
It's not World War II.
No, but it's not. You know what? It's not. It's the documentaries. It's just they're very. I can't figure it out. I don't know. I just find them very interesting. Like, you know, you can kind of just.
But is that
hear
is
them.
That more so because of what we're living through at the moment?
No, I've always done this in school. Yeah, okay. I've always done this in school. Even when you know, World War II and colour came out. Do you remember this?
No.
Ah, come on.
I wasn't great for.
I mean, suddenly documentaries went from being in black and white to being in full colour because they were digitally able to enhance them. Like, I think it came out about 25 years ago or something. That was incredible. It was like, you know, and then they showed and now I can see it happen. So I've always had an interest in it, you know. So
that was the week in history. And we'll be back next week with a football show.
The comparisons are just crazy.
Really?
To now, yeah.
To now.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's literally, you know... let's get off this subject very quickly, but it's literally going back 75, 80 years.
And that is the scary thing about it. Yeah. You think we've moved on, but yet everything keeps repeating itself. But
tell me about your flight home. Someone told me.
Yeah, well, the match first. Bird. I want to talk about the match just for 2 minutes because
they were very good, weren't we?
Shoot, they were brilliant.
Yeah, they were brilliant.
It's the best performance I've seen now under Stephen. It was everything that. When Stephen got the job and we were obviously very, very
it's amazing what you can do when you put three in midfield.
So honestly, three in midfield. Like, how has there not been
he's
three
a tactical genius, isn't he? He is. I mean, why has nobody ever said that Stephen Kenny
we're not good enough to play with two
genius.
Anyway. Like, you know, so how they thought we could, I don't know. But anyway, the three, but it was the personnel in that three as well which made all the difference, because Knight and Malumbi, I was getting tired looking at them, Stu. Their energy levels was unbelievable, the lads. It was one of them nights, the closest thing I can
remember. I thought Cullen was excellent. I think he's been
brilliant.
He's been our superstar. I think he really stands out for me.
But again,
4 games in a row, Al.
I know.
I don't know how he wasn't falling over.
60 at start. Yeah. 60 at start. Yeah. Not 60 at game, 60 at start.
Incredible.
And not alone that as well, Stu. It complements him the three, because he can sit down and just and be the deep one protecting the back four.
I watched the Armenia game away and I'm looking at Cullen playing like a 10.
Yeah,
and I'm going, what's he doing?
I know.
Why isn't someone on the line roaring at him?
But I feel as though, well, I felt in those two games that when it's him and Hendrick, and I don't mind Hendrick because obviously the defensive side of his game is not his strongest. So I'd allow for that if he was up the other side creating 3 and 4 or 5 chances and looking like maybe getting us a goal as well. But he's not offering anything offensively. So I felt with the two, Cullen is nearly having to cover so much of the pitch because of Hendrick's defensive liabilities as well. Whereas at least with the three, he can just sit in front of the back four, read it, mop up, be that defensive one, and let the two boys do all the running here, there and everywhere, which they did, Malumbi and Knight. And honestly, were outstanding, those two. So it was a much better shape. Troy Parrott as well, I thought played really well.
He's really now starting to mature. Like, yeah, really. To know I was so impressed with from him. What was the game? Was it the Scotland game? His off the ball stuff.
And this was the thing over
using
there.
Using his weight, leaning into players, just really learning
just
how.
Just his general work.
Because he hasn't physically expanded, and nor does he have to. Because once you know how to use your body without being, without giving away silly free kicks. And he was just a nuisance.
He was very good.
Yeah. And that was all off the ball stuff is on the ball stuff, obviously. That was the thing, as you said,
the fourth game. And I was thinking, because I was a little bit critical of the fact that not just Ireland, every team having to play 4 games now is a nonsense show. Coming off the back at the end of the season. UEFA and FIFA are flogging the players. Let's be honest about this. It's a joke, really.
Before
player welfare is all we keep hearing. There's no player welfare when you're flogging players after. Josh Cullen, 60 at start. That's bonkers, Joe.
Yeah, I am. Before the 4 games, you're probably saying, we probably need it, because it's the first time that the group has ever been together for a kind of a long period. And as it's turned out, Alan, it probably was to our benefit, because it was a Jekyll and Hyde sort of a.
Because the first 2 games were a disaster.
It was almost to the point where people are calling for his head.
I left the Ukraine match that night. And fair enough, they didn't play great the home game. I was in Ottawa, Harry. And yet the next day I'm reading the reaction.
Yeah, I know.
Kenny out. This is
the world we live in.
People are so reactive to everything now.
This is the world now.
I remember I tweeted something that night saying, will you just let a pattern develop maybe of a struggling for 8 or 9 games and then maybe start saying these things? But the win on Saturday against Scotland and everyone's all up at Eyes Greyfell again.
The world's a popularity contest now.
Who can shout the loudest?
It's just that's what it is. It's a popularity contest. It's more who can be more likable or I don't know. It's
bonkers.
It is bonkers.
So he was the midfield area, they played great, and it was one of them. The only time I can remember something similar was I was over at the Euros when they played France in that game after the Robbie Brady header, and it was scorching hot, and they played great. It was one of them games where.
What game are you talking about now?
Euros back in 2000.
But you're comparing the Ukraine game and Poland to this?
The effort.
Oh, okay, the effort.
And basically what it was, Stu, the day over in the Euros, and obviously France had Griezmann and Pogba and Matuidi and all the lads, top quality. And we were well beaten 3-1, I think it was, in the end. And Griezmann was just unbelievable. Seeing him in the flesh and live, we couldn't live with him.
But the
effort and the running, it was one of them where you'll just live with anything once you see them busting their balls. They literally gave every ounce. And I remember coming off thinking, whatever deficiencies we have quality-wise, nobody can fault what them lads have just done out there. Nobody. They've literally done everything they can. And once people are doing that, you can't quibble after that. So it was like that the other night against Ukraine. The effort and the energy, it was unbelievable. I was actually...
And we were very good in the ball as well.
Great, yeah. But I mean,
That's...
But my point is, whatever we do lack in terms of technical ability compares to the top nations, when they're literally given everything they can, you can't, because you couldn't say that about the first Ukraine game, or you couldn't say that about the Armenian game. But the night over in Ukraine, they played very well and they were literally given everything. Yeah. And you can't argue.
It's a mix for us, isn't it? We have to know how to balance how good we can play, how what is our limit in terms of how we can play, and then balance that against energy. And
that's the thing, Stu, because I remember making the point
that Ukraine game probably
that's it. That's the template, the baseline, because when Stephen came in, there was all this talk, and I know he probably built a little bit up of himself of in terms of how we're going to play and we're going to change the philosophy and all this kind of shite. So people then are thinking, oh, we're going to play like Barcelona, and we're never going to play like Barcelona, and we never will ever, right? But
well, if Barcelona keep going the way they are now, we like them.
Well, whoever, but you know what I mean, like Man City or whoever, and literally have the ball for 80. But like this kind of narrative that was around the team. Whereas, as you said, the mix and the blend that we got in that night against
it's
Ukraine,
to be
Irish, to get stuck in, to give it all, or play with heart, play with passion. But yet,
dare I say, put them under pressure.
Yeah, but that was the thing, Stu. We were a little bit more direct. We were getting numbers forward. We were getting bodies forward, picking balls up on the edge of the box, winning things back higher up the pitch, getting shots off, crosses. That's what we want. That's what we do.
And do you feel before that game, we kind of felt like we've got a game to win?
Will you stop? I'm trying to make a serious point.
No, seriously, do you feel
but
like...
or even, it, we've got a
game. We've got a game. We've got a game to win.
Stop. But, and that is, that's the template going forward.
Okay.
that is the template. Fuck off.
You've been talking about it for 3 weeks.
For which?
You're not getting away with it now. This shit. You're right.
Well,
right.
I haven't seen it. But that's the template.
That's the template. You're right. No, you're right. It's all about balance and just getting the expectation right.
And I think, to be fair, now you look at the emergence of those, I think he needs to go with that youthful energy. Because we always, the one thing I always loved and we applauded Stephen's Dundalk team for was they used to just fly forward and attack with such energy and players flooding forward. I haven't necessarily seen that as much with the Irish team.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's been trying to find with, but that night against, you could almost see that sense of kind of exuberance about that those young lads, that it was just, whoosh, as soon as we were attacking, it was. And then you get to the main man of them all at the back, and we met Dara O'Shea's dad out the night before. What a gentleman.
Yeah.
Absolute gentleman. And we met loads of fans, and that's another thing I should mention. The amount of fans that literally go everywhere, Stu. Those fellas who was in Armenia, right? And then they're all from Ukraine and Vudge. And I'm saying, lads, how do you do this? Credit unions, sure, loans, whatever the case may be, right, following them here, there and everywhere.
Do you reckon they have a strong marriage?
Unbelievable. They literally followed them everywhere. Right. So we had a couple of pints anyway with Dara's dad, and lovely man. And the word.
What's Dara's dad's name? Just Dara's dad. I remember you introduced me to your dad once, because this is dad. Yeah, this is what you said.
This is dad?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. And then from now, don't remember from then on, I called him dad.
This is what you did.
Shoey, this is dad. I went, hey, dad. So I don't remember that.
Oh, when was this?
The first time you introduced your dad.
That was years ago.
Yeah, but like that's the way you said it.
How are you, dad?
He walk in the room now and go, hey, dad, all right? And he'd probably remember. He'd probably remember. What's Dara? What's his dad's name?
That's a good
Mr.
one.
Mr. O'Shea.
Dad. Absolute gent. But a couple of the lads that were with him, we spoke. I asked him the question about...
Would he travel now? Okay.
Well, I don't know if he travelled before, because you know what he took. This is the question I asked him, because I had heard Dara was supposed to be unbelievable at Gaelic, so I spoke to him about the Gaelic. I says,
footballers are good at Gaelic, Alan.
No, there's some better than others. He was like Dublin material,
right?
By all accounts, he was supposed to be unbelievable when he was young. Okay. So I had read this somewhere. So I asked him, and he said he was real. Nice, humble man. He wasn't kind of bragging at all. His couple of friends jumped in and basically said Dara was unbelievable at Gaelic.
Was he? And at British foreign levels.
And even when he went away as well, it was almost a case of, because his dad said, look, I'm Gaelic. Gaelic is my background. And Jude's, I think, in Temple Oak, he said, now, not that they were stopping the young fella from going away, but it was almost a case of, shit, we were taught he'd go on and play with Dublin kind of thing. You know, that was the target or whatever. So... And I was delighted then the following day, because Nathan Collins, we'll get to him, and obviously he gets all the plaudits.
That's what I thought you were going to say when you said the main man.
No, he was the main man, but the reason I brought Dara into it was because Dara O'Shea and Dara Lennon were unbelievable on the night as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And their performance has been totally overlooked because how good Collins was. And I suppose that just tells you how good Collins was, because the two lads have performances have been overlooked. So it was important to mention them as well, and his dad was a lovely man. But Nathan Collins' shoe, oh my God.
I never realised, right? Wow. Just, like, forget about his performance and the maturity he showed, all that. I never realised how quick he is.
Yeah, he's very quick.
He over 50 yards, I'd say he's probably the I'm going to put this down now. I reckon he would be any player in that team over 50 yards. I'd say over 10.
Irish team.
Anyone in the Irish, I'd love to know what the stats are, because I'd say once he opens a stride, he's gone.
I'd say Ogbeni.
I'd love to see it. I'd say he'd catch Ogbeni.
Yeah, possibly.
I'd say
yeah.
Ogbeni would do him over 10, 15, and then he would just, like Usain Bolt, pull them back in.
Possibly, yeah.
And he'd be looking over his shoulder.
And whatever about the goal.
The little smile.
And you know this as well. Like, when you're actually there in the ground, telly obviously doesn't give you the full picture at the best of times. But when you're there on the ground and you can see everything off the ball, honestly, Shu, he was unbelievable. Was he was so good. And the good thing about that is it's a good point you make about the speed of him as well. Because he plays, normally when Duffy plays and he drops off as the kind of like the sweeper type in that tree, he plays in a straight line with the other two. And he backs himself that if a ball goes over the top, bang.
But you just said it, he backs himself. He also backed himself on the goal because no centre-half, unless they know they're quick, is doing that.
Oh, he's brilliant.
No one, they're not doing it at all. You know centre-halves, the ones that can't run for shit, they just move the ball or, you know, they don't do things like that. So it was just that confidence he has in his pace.
Oh, he was unbelievable, honestly. And bar the goal, which was just ridiculous, his whole performance, I still would have been raving about him as much, even without the goal. He was outstanding. So there's plenty to build on. It was a great trip. Then Mr. Zinchenko was on the flight home. Lovely lad.
I heard that, yeah,
really nice lad. And he was just a normal lad
as
well.
Did you get the picture?
We did, actually, yeah. But all the fans were, and he was very kind of civil. And
he was going back to Manchester via Dublin, was he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I invited him down to Portmarnock, honey, for a coffee.
Down to Portmarnock.
He said, I'll go on the pod, though. He said, how's Stewie?
Did he say, I will go on pod? What's the name of that cafe?
Some player
as well.
Some player, by the way.
Yeah, he's quality.
Lovely player.
Yeah, he is quality.
So that was the trip, Stu. Yeah, so that's where I've been for...
Did I not hear there was
sounds
an incident
like I was away
plane?
For 3 weeks there, but
did I not hear
there was an incident on the plane, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go into that now.
Callie on call, rather than Callie's call. It's like a fucking doctor I was on the way home.
Yeah, I heard...
And it was a lad like, sitting beside me, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Airplane?
Yeah.
So you remember when Stryker was sitting on the seat talking to the person next to them and they started throwing petrol over themselves? Well, you actually talked a poor gentleman.
No, he talked me.
He didn't, his arse.
Into a panic attack.
He had a panic attack because he was listening to you for an hour.
He was a lovely lad, he was. But yeah.
What happened?
He just basically, he said he suffers with flying and all, and he blacked out on the way. He was one that was over in Armenia. So I think his name, will we name him?
I don't mind. I hope it's okay.
He's sound and he's lovely. He texted me the following day.
Did he? Okay.
Mad fan. This is what I'm saying. Goes everywhere. Absolutely loves the football and loves the team and all. Goes here, there and everywhere. Great lad. We're having a great chat. And then he just started to... And I was like, please, come on. You don't need to do this now, come on. I just want to go home safe and sound. Please, come on, you don't need to do this. And then he started getting worse and he's like, come on, oxygen. And he starts roaring up the plane. I was like, come on, please, come on, relax. So I was trying to calm him down. And
you should have told him about the time you went to Leeds as a youngster. That would have fixed him straight away.
He was, but eventually, yeah, the staff were very good. They got oxygen. So I ended up like this, right, with a big feckin' canister of oxygen. Holding
you were stroking his head, were you?
And rubbing his leg. Yeah, you okay, okay.
Bottle feeding him.
And then he was grand once
was
we landed.
Okay?
He was grand, but that was my trip, Joe.
That's tough. That's not, yeah. So it's fair to say you didn't have a glass of wine on the plane coming home.
No. Well, it's like, look, anything like that where there's fear involved or attacks... panic attacks, I have huge sympathy for people, because unless you're in their shoes, it's very, very, like, it's very difficult to know what exactly like how bad it is or what they're going through, and loads of people have a fear of flying or whatever the case may be. So he did get very worried, but he was grand in the end.
I'd love a glass of wine on a plane, do you?
I'd love a glass of wine now.
Do you, like, honestly now, this is true, do you like a glass of wine on the plane?
I'm not a big wine drinker. We had this chat. I've started drinking red wine lately.
Well, you know, you need to be careful now. Because you just have to make sure, you have to kind of baby steps. Red wine is like...
Well, can you not just dive straight into the red wine?
Red wine is like the heroin of alcohol. Seriously.
Will I come in here like this next week?
You'll start seeing babies crawling on ceilings if you don't watch yourself. I'm just going
about it nicely.
You have to be careful with red wine now. It's very...
Cabernet Sauvignon. Nice little fruity bottle.
Right,
I'm good, haven't I?
Yeah, you're getting there, yeah. Fruit. What kind of fruit? No, but you got to be careful with red wine because it would knock shit out of you. But it's the best drink in the world if you know how to handle it. But
all right,
I've been struggling lately.
We'll have a wine after the history section next week. We'll have a wine section as well, right? And you can tell us.
We
all
should
about
do great what Graham Norton does. He should be allowed to have a glass of wine.
We will do that for the live show. We'll do that.
Doing the show mid-season break. You mentioned it there, about 3 hours ago.
Okay, so the football's back. Stu.
Why do we have a mid-season break?
Oh, the break annoys me.
Come here to me. Let me throw this one at you, right? I'm a little bit scratching the head lately because I don't know what happened in the last week before the break and then the first two games afterwards. Something, everything just pivoted on his head. All of a sudden, there's no competition for Shamrock Rovers anymore and the league is probably nearly over.
You've jumped the gun. Jumped the gun there, baby.
But it got me thinking, right? What can we do to make this league more competitive in terms of actually, you know, doing like so? Because I'll tell you where.
So, do you not think Dundalk will be competitive?
I don't think so. No.
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 I'm looking at the table.
I don't have faith that they will. By the way, the fact that they're second is an achievement in its own.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the case, Alan. You know,
two games in hand. They're 10 points.
Yeah.
Do you think if they win them and it's four, could we have a race?
I just don't see it. But no, of course, I say this, and if I was playing for Dundalk, I'd go, well, I'm going to fucking show him, like, you know. But anything can happen, I suppose, in the league,
Before we get into this, can we go back to the break thing? Because the break is annoying me, right?
Yeah.
Because we're going on here, right? Every different chat, podcast, us, any other podcast, whatever, and... The debate and the discussion is always around, oh, we need an industry in this country and we need government finances and we need help and we need all this kind of stuff, right? And we're shouting, this is what we need, this is what we want. We want to create an industry. Why are we shutting down for 2 weeks?
Yeah, totally agree. And I've agreed with
this
since...
It's so amateur.
I've agreed with this since I was a player, believe it or not. Because what I used to see when I was a player, fellas just fucking switch off.
But they were all pissing off.
They're in their flip-flops. They're in their flip-flops 2 weeks before they go away. And then when they come back... Their heads all over the fucking place.
They're talking
about their holiday and this one and that one and how much money they won on this horse and fucking, it's desperate.
No, I don't agree with it at all.
And is it any wonder?
And I'm saying
the results were all over the shop
when people came back
in the week prior and the week after, all over the fucking place.
No,
it's only benefited Shamrock Rovers.
Because they're exactly, and I'd love to know how long they had off. Because I doubt the world.
I'd say he didn't let them go away.
But I don't know.
Well, we never got any more than four days.
Yeah.
Never got any more than 4 days. I think it's crazy. I remember. Why did it even come about in the first place?
I remember. I'm shouting about this from day one, Stu. It came about because Ireland were qualifying for. It was 2012 for the Euros with Trapattoni, and the games would have been clashing.
Alan, I think it was around before that. I'm telling you, Al, I can remember this. This is true now. I can stand to be corrected, right?
There was definitely a year where it was clashing and I had no problem with it because obviously it made total sense. Yeah. Ireland were in a major tournament. The games were...
I think it's been around from... Sorry, Al, it has been around from far. I can remember this. This is God's honest truth. I had to come back. I was injured in 2003.
That's not around since then.
So I'm not saying it was around since then.
No, 100% it's not around.
I tell you what,
it was around
in 2007. I was with Drogheda.
I don't think it is.
We were top of the table at the time. I was with Drogheda. We were top of the table at the time. And mid-season break was coming up and we played Longford before the break, the lads were going off on a 5-day holiday and we were fucking muck.
We had
a huge barney in the dressing room after the game. We had a huge barney because we didn't turn up. I'm telling you, it was there in 2007 and I think it's been around from even earlier than that.
No, definitely not. Well, came into the league in 2002 and 2003. 2003, there was no breaks.
Let's look into it and move on anyway. But
yeah, well, we can, but the point stands in terms of there's no place for it. If we're serious about the industry, build it up, all this, people go away for 2 weeks and there's no interest in the league.
So I'm gonna try. The reason we have a mid-season break, it's been there historically for an FAI jolly up. That's the reason why we have a mid-season break. So the FAI...
I don't think so.
It's because the FAI, right, the heads in the FAI had to go away to either whatever a certain competition. You can look up there. It would be good to know. And it was to allow them to be able to go to a competition or whatever the case may be because they weren't around to be able to run the league. That's it in short. That's the reason why we have a break. So we need to fucking scrap it. And I don't know why clubs don't.
Yeah, I don't know why the clubs.
Because do you know what happened? Do you know what? This is what it does. It's just a part-time mentality. Exactly, though. Exactly. You've hit it on the nail on the head. And it only benefits Shamrock Rovers. Mm. Only benefits Shamrock Rovers. Every other club, and I'm not, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not having a pop at like everyone, but the effect it has, clubs just switch off. Mm. And then when they come back, they switch up and there's a competitive, there's an edge gone out of the games. And this year is a perfect example. Rovers are in third gear at the moment and they're now 10 points clear.
They won two games over the weekend without Burn.
Third gear.
Without Burn, Burke, Mandry and Towel. Yeah. And they beat Bowes and Pats. I was at the two of them.
Third gear.
And yeah, they were in third gear in both games. Now last night, Pats were okay. We'll come to the games. But yeah... Rovers, yeah, they were winning third gear, yeah.
There's no competition. So we have to really start looking at how we can start getting the league more competitive, right? The league, because this is my fear now. I don't think, I'll put it out there now, as far as I can see, nobody but Shamrock Rovers are going out to win the league title. Realistically.
I wouldn't say.
Hear me out, right? You get 120,000... for winning the league.
Yeah.
You get 60 for coming second. Mm. Okay. I think there's a dangerous narrative coming into the game now.
Just qualify for Europe.
Clubs just want to qualify for Europe, Alan.
Yeah, well that's it. In order for them
to bridge the gap to catch Shamrock Rovers, they have to spend. Mm. And they're not willing to spend. They're not willing to take that risk of spending the extra money to get the extra two or three players because the only financial difference is 120 is 60,000 for winning the league. 120 grand for winning the league title. It was 240,000 for winning the Stanta Cup in 2005.
I know, but we've been down this road, Shu. Like, the prize money has always been a problem.
SSE Electricity, not good enough. Need to get rid of it. Need a new sponsor. We need somebody who's going to come in. And The league needs a new and better sponsor.
All right, can I go back on a couple of things you said there?
You need to suggest
the teams are not going out to win
multiply
the league.
Multiply that prize money by 10.
To suggest that they're going out to not win the league, I don't agree. And
I'm being harsh, but that's...
I tell you why, I have no problem saying that. I have no problem saying that. What I'm saying is Shamrock Rovers are 3 or 4 years ahead of all the others, Stu. So Dundalk, you said, it's an achievement in itself to be second. Absolutely. So Dundalk were never in line to go out and win a league this year. It was never even on the radar. Stephen O'Donnell went in at the start of pre-season or whatever, but he had to assemble, they lost some players, he had to bring in some new players. So they were never, in my eyes, at the start of the year, looking at that thinking, oh yeah, well, we're realistically going to maybe win a league here. Stephen was never going to do that, right? So then you have Derry. Hear me out. So Shamrock Rovers were already 3 or 4 years ahead of Dundalk since Dundalk's collapse, and Shamrock Rovers have been obviously the team, which is good luck to them. Derry, right, and Higgins came in, and again, recruitment and bringing in new fellas. Even though people were suggesting, oh, Derry have a great squad and they might do something this year, everybody was only saying, we hope they challenge Shamrock Rovers. I said it myself, I think they'll be the closest challengers, and we all wanted to see something. But I don't think, listen, yeah. I don't think Derry... Or Rory Higgins sat back and thought, we could win the league this year. they knew they were still very much, this was his first full season to get the team up and running or whatever, you know what I mean, in terms of now next year with the squad he's built, and maybe if he adds one or two he potentially could look at that. Now, not with the current form at the way they are at the moment, but I'm saying it's going to take the 2 or 3 years. And to be fair to the likes of Dundalk and Derry, who were the closest on the, in the league table at the moment, it was always going to take that 2 or 3 years too.
So I completely take all that on board. I don't know what Steve O'Donnell is saying to his players. I don't know what Rory Higgins is saying to his players, okay? But you look at the form of Shamrock Rovers at the moment, comfortably top of the table. Nobody's putting it up to them.
Mm.
And you clubs must be looking at themselves going, fucking Jesus almighty. Like, if we were able to maintain any kind of a competitive edge, we could have been either level with Rovers or even ahead of them.
And I know, but I don't think it's a case of that they're not putting it up to them because
they're not. There's no competition, Alan.
No, but I think that's a reflection on how bad the teams have been, Stu, as
But
the teams are average.
That's exactly what
people
it's a reflection.
Are saying. The league is great, the league's not great. Sorry, the teams are so average.
That's exactly what it's a reflection of. But there's no competition outside of.
Someone said to me last
top
night,
"Top play or top two sometimes." But this year, it's
a fan said to me, right, sitting next to a man last night in Inchicore, right in the first half. Lovely man, chatting away, chit-chat about the league and Pats, and he was a Pats fan. And he says to me, right, oh, the league is great this year, it's great. And I looked at him and I thought, really? And he goes, yeah, the league is great. Everyone's taking points and everyone's beating each other and all. And I'm looking at him thinking, are they? Like, and I says, and I looked at him and I didn't want to get into too much kind of a deep chat with him, but I just kind of thought to myself, and I says to him, that's nothing to do with the league being competitive, that the teams are doing great, that it's competitive because they're all taking points off each other because they're so good. If you think they're taking points off each other, because the teams are so bang average, and they are. They're so average, the teams. I watched Pats last night.
But
right?
Alan, I'm going to throw this out to you, right? I think they are what they are is because they're not focusing on number one spot. They're focusing on second, third and fourth.
Well,
they're actually
saying
to themselves, we can finish fucking fourth.
Oh, look, that's a different. And if they're doing that, that's a mindset thing or whatever.
But that's the kind of impression I'm getting. And if you aim for fourth, you'll finish sixth.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? But I think there's a lack of quality amongst the teams as well, Stu. Like Shamrock Rovers, to be fair, right? Last night, you take Byrne, the four best players in the league. They're not even the four best players in Shamrock Rovers. They're the four best players in the league, right? Take them out of the team and they're still beating Bows and Pats. I wouldn't say at a canter, but they're beating them third gear, you said.
Yeah, I know, but
I thought Bows were good in the first half.
Yeah, but
they
fell off a cliff.
I know.
In the set, like off, and that's not.
And Pats weren't
normal.
All that bad last night either.
Yeah, that's not normal. But it's all passive, Alan. It's all the, yeah. This is what I always hear. They just need to stay up. They just need to stay up. You get far to get Europe. You've got the cup, and so my worry is this, right? You don't.
So who are you talking about here? So
teams aren't going out to win the league anymore.
Because there's so
much benefit from other alternatives.
Streams.
So what we have now is one team that's effectively gone out to win a league title. So we don't
for years it was always Arsene Wenger to finish fourth Champions League.
Yeah,
he gets them into Champions League.
Yeah, this isn't.
Yeah,
so,
well, that could be. Yeah,
so that.
But I don't think I would slightly disagree with. I don't think teams are going out to win the league. As in, we're now trying to win the league. We finish four because I think that's more a case of they're not good enough to win the league. Shoe, all those teams right now that are below Shamrock Rovers are nowhere near good enough to win the league.
I think Derry are good enough to push them, Al. They are, Alan. They are. They are good enough to push them.
Look at their current form. And they have one win in 10
weeks. Well, yeah, you have to ask why that is. That could be like, what, you know, why is that? Why were they so good for like they were flying? And I know, I get this, by the way. There's a huge psychological barrier to overcome before you really go. We're capable of winning the league.
Their first year. Well,
I
like
totally
said,
get it.
I've no problem
with
that.
Pat's no excuse. Should be much better than what they are. They didn't lose that much in the off season. They were able to sign well.
Pats are struggling.
Sligo
last night. Pats are defensively.
We had Gary Buckley on. It's talking about winning league titles. Come on, and they fell off a cliff. never even got going.
No,
that's
close.
No reflection. Like, I credit to Gardy for saying that, because you need players thinking like that. But obviously,
but if he's
the only
one
fucking 12 aren't
thinking
the same.
Yeah, that's
what I'm kind of get at. Yeah. So what's feeding this narrative? What's in the heads of players when they start league campaigns? Is it Europe? Is it they just want to? If we just finish fourth, it's grand. We'll be okay. Like, you know.
And it is all a bit grand, isn't it?
And
that's my point even about the mid-season break. That's grand. It'll be grand. You'll have people on shouting, "Oh, we need government kind of intervention here and help us and all this shite."
And
right?
You know what happens?
Yet they're happy to piss off for 2 weeks on holidays.
But you know what happens? And it's happening again. This is what happens, right? What you said is completely true. It's all grand. It's grand. And then everyone starts picking on Shamrock Rovers. Ah, they've all the money. They've all this. Yeah. They've got all this. And then we're back to fucking square one again. 20 years ago stuff. I heard it at Shells. I heard it at Drogheda. Bowes got it in 2008 under Pat Fennell. Shamrock Rovers under Michael O'Neill. And then probably Stephen Kenny fucking got it at some stage. Like, you know, but bullshit. It's nothing to fucking do with that. It's a mentality. Yeah. Look at Rovers' pitch. Look at everyone else's pitch. They're grand. They're not even grand. They're shit.
You know what another thing I noticed?
So it's a mentality
problem.
Another
thing I noticed, right? And this is where Shamrock Rovers deserve massive credit. See the physicality of the players as well. Looking at them last night's show, every one of them are in serious condition.
Yeah.
Andy Lyons, right? Now, I don't know what he was doing at Bowes, right? And I'm not disputing training regimes or whatever the case may be there. Andy Lyons is like a different person. Not only the way he's playing, it's the physicality as well. Looking at him, he's the best player in the league this year, Andy Lyons. If they were handing out players of the year right now, he'd be the player of the year. The impact he's had on that team, Shamrock Rovers as well, and the goals he's chipped in with, scored again last night. But I'm looking at him.
He's hungry, Alan. You can tell. Yeah. That there's a kid, right, who's hungry. And if you have hunger, you can do anything. You know, you can do anything. And he was a brilliant signing, I have to say.
Brilliant signing.
Because he has he's stepped up, you know, not just
he's gone to a different level.
And you rightly point out he's taken
he's
it
like
on
a
board.
Man last night on the pitch too.
Yeah, and like getting goals. But how many has he got? He's four
six
or five
league
now.
Goals
six,
now. Six. But everything about his game, as you say, how driven and determined he is. But I'm looking at him now. I know he's a young lad who's developing all the time physically, but he didn't look like that to me at Bowes.
Yeah.
The conditioning of him in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Sean Horley, Grace, Pico Lopez, all looking at them all at the back. They're all in great nick, every one of them.
Yeah, they.
That's the full time environment and the mentality and all the things you're speaking about.
Yeah.
They're not going around thinking, "Oh, well, we're the best and we've the best facilities and that's grand." They're going around saying, "We've the best facilities and we're going to make it better again and we're going to win the league and we're going to win everything else that we can."
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I'm worried about. Like that instead of other clubs, right? And this is where other clubs need to go. We have to get to that level. Instead of other clubs doing that, like, don't start this shit of like, "Oh, they've got all the money. They'll blow up. They're over. They've got over investment. They're exposed to debt." Like, don't fall into that fucking trap again, because we go nowhere. You know?
I was into Shells and Bowes after the break, right? And to be fair to Keith Long, I think he mentioned it in one of the articles.
Longer's talking about his own pitch as well.
The pitch was a disgrace.
And there's the manager. Obviously, the manager can't come out going, "This is fucking..."
And he has a team that wants to play a grip. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the pitch was a disgrace, Shells and Bowes.
There's no excuse for it, Alan. There is no excuse for it. There really isn't. And you've said it. It's grand. Like, come on. We're fucking better than this, you know? At least get the pitch right. We live in Ireland.
I know,
fucking grass growing country.
But if people out there think the league is in great shape, I don't think it is. I think the league is in great shape in terms of the interest around it, and this is where we need to capitalise on it. But if we're accepting the stuff that we're pointing out here, soon people will tune out again.
Oh, and they will.
You're pissing off for 2 weeks. When you've interest peaked at a point where you're getting Shamrock Rovers are getting 7,500 every week, there was an unbelievable
crowd. And they're winning
crowd.
Leagues by 15 points.
There was an unbelievable crowd last night in Inchicore, to be fair. So if you've the interest, you have the people drawn in, but you need to keep them there.
Oh, completely. I couldn't agree more. Like, no, there's no doubt about it, right? The crowds this year have been brilliant.
Brilliant.
I was in shock at the first game of the season, and I've been in shock since. I can't believe it. It is fantastic. It's brilliant.
But don't depend on that.
That's not going to stay.
Because if we get ourselves due to a point where we accept now not me and you, but we accept the league, accept and people involved. Oh, it's grand. Sure, we've a crack now. Look, they're all in. People are coming.
Yeah.
And we forget about the fundamentals, like the pitch and the quality of play and all this kind of stuff and the standards and professionalism mentality and all that. Well, they'll soon be gone.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, for me, if you don't have your pitch right, there's something wrong. Mm. You're focused on something else, you know. And
we've had it in a few places. Sligo to start the year, pitches all over the place.
Yeah, you're not in the right
place. Daly Mount there a couple of weeks ago, all over the place. Yeah. You go up to Tala. Every time I've gone to Tala this year, it's like a carpet.
Ah, it's like a billiard table. I mean, it's like the Aviva. It's as good as that. It's as good as that. And this, like, can you imagine? Like you remember playing as either a kid or when you went full time, whether it be over in Leeds or. When the pitch is in good, you're like, you feel like a superstar.
Turns you on.
You feel like a superstar. You're going, yeah. Like, and I only ever really got it in Europe, to be quite honest with you. I mean, to be fair, Talca was good at times, but could have been a lot better. But it's fucking 20 years ago. Mm. It's 20 years on, and all the grounds are, the pitches, it's grass. It's like, it's the one thing that we should be able to get right. Why we can't get it right, I don't know. I totally accept the facilities issue. You need big money, there's different complications to resolve that. But your like the grass pitch, why we can't get this right is I don't know. I can't understand it. But it's something that, you know, it's something that at least we can get right and something that we have to look at. You know.
Okay, so there was lots said there, but it's a good discussion to have because I do think, Stu, I'm looking at the teams here, right. And Shamrock Rovers are 10 points clear in third gear. And you're asking the question about you don't think it's competitive. I think that the other teams are so ordinary. And I've been saying this for a while now. I'm at games every week. And I just think the teams are so ordinary.
Yeah, I think there's more in Derry.
Yeah.
There's more in Pats. And there's more in Bowes.
There's definitely more in Bowes. I think Bowes have the potential of being really good. I thought the first half Shells were great.
Are where they are. They again, new team, young team. They are where they need to be. Sligo, I mean, I'm going to pass on Sligo because there should be more in them as well.
There should be more in them, yeah. Absolutely.
But I know there's more in Bowes. I know that, you know, when you look at how they played in the first half against Shamrock Rovers, there's more there.
Very good.
I'm a Sherry, quality. This kid could be anything.
Yeah.
This could be anything.
I thought they were all great.
We looked at the Dawson, the boys,
Bert, Coote,
Bert a little bit hot and cold the other night, whereas he was awesome 6-7 weeks ago, I have to say. So there's more in Pats, there's more in Derry, and that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Dundalk should not be second. I mean, they
well, that tells you the job Stephen is doing.
Yeah, true, but it also reflects on the others as well.
Yeah. Okay, that was episode 15, Stu. It's good to be back. To hear your voice given out again. But no, that's, I think that I'd love to hear people's views on that in terms of, we're not trying to be like, we push the league more than anything.
Yeah, let's
we love the league, but we'd love to hear a bit of feedback from people who are going to watch matches every week. Obviously the fans are there. It's great that the numbers we want, this is what we want, but are you happy with what you're watching on the pitch, your team? I think most of the fans, and we've pointed out there what you've said, maybe from third down to seventh, would all say the teams have been up and down, because they have been up and down. I don't think there's any set of fans amongst Derry, Pats, Sligo Rovers, Bowes, Shells that would say, oh yeah, we've been great this year.
Everything
that you've said there about more, there's more to come from all those, I think most of the fans would agree
with
that.
There's more to come from everybody.
Yeah.
And I tell you the basis of where this is coming from. If you're waiting for someone on a white horse from the FAI to come along and say, right lads, we're going here, it's not going to happen. The FAI, we need to think, we need to put them to one side, right? They're in Nama land. They're trying to deal with historical debt. They're trying to deal with 20 years of neglect. They're just firefighting. That's what they're doing at the moment, okay? So, and when we had Sligo chairman in here,
Tommy,
a few weeks back, reiterate what we said there. It has to be, we're the stakeholders here. Don't be waiting for somebody else. We're the stakeholders. The supporters, the players, the chairman at the clubs, we can do much more.
Well, that's what they're doing, Tommy, to be fair. They're pushing ahead with their own
plan. But why are the pitches shit?
Yeah, well, there should
so
be.
So that's the first part of call. And then, you know, that's a mentality thing.
Because it's grand.
Because it's grand, yeah. Well, look, it won't be grand for much longer if we keep that kind of thought process, you know.
Stewie, good to see you.
I'm going for a glass of wine now.
Are we?
I'm going back to work.
Will you bring me for a glass?
Oh God.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you. That's it, folks. Episode 15, we're back up and running. We have missed you all, but I would love to get your thoughts or feedback on that. Are we being a bit harsh? I don't think we are. We just want to see improvements all over the place.
Why don't you start getting some get a supporter from each club to start coming in, or a couple of clubs and we can.
Well,
have
we might do, yeah. And again,
it's very hard to organise the big affairs. But if one or two could come in, and talk.
Yeah, well,
to
not
us.
Even one or two. You could easily fit. We could get the Premier Division a fan from each club wanted to come in.
Get the Dublin clubs in. Get one support from Dublin clubs. They should reach out to you on
okay.
On
anyone
on
that wants
media.
To come on the show and as part of a little Premier Division debate. A fan debate with myself and Stewie, have a little chat about your teams. That might be something we'll organise in the coming weeks. So if you're interested in that, send me a message and we'd love to have you.
Constructive discussion. Let's see how we can get this moving forward.
Yeah, good idea, Stu. Okay, thanks everyone. A big thanks to Benetti Menswear as always. We're back up and running. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.